Now, Peter, in the opening part of this second letter, was directing the people of God to be diligent in making progress in their walk with God. You will see in the verse 5 of this chapter that Peter gives the exhortation, and of course, as he gives this exhortation to those to whom he wrote it first, this exhortation comes to us today, because this is part of the Word of God. And you will see in verse 5 that he wrote, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith." And so he's giving this exhortation that we need to be diligent when we're saved to progress in our walk with God. You will see in verse 10 that he writes, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure." And in those verses, he is pointing out to us that as we give diligence to our spiritual growth as believers, that in turn will be the means of increasing the assurance of our salvation. Now, Peter, as he exhorted his fellow believers to diligence in spiritual matters, sought to practice what he preached to others. And you will see in the verse 12 that he uses the word not being negligent. In verse 12, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things." As he sought to encourage God's people to be diligent in their walk with God and in their witness for God, well, he sought to put that into practice himself. He did not want to be negligent as he put them in remembrance of these truths that he sets before us in this particular letter. He endeavored to be diligent in his ministry for the Lord. He did not count the ministry and his duties lightly. He was not careless in the discharge of his ministry. Like the Apostle Paul, when Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and 14, he exhorted Timothy, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Take heed unto thyself." Paul was exhorting Timothy, who would be ministering to others, not to be negligent, but to be diligent. And Peter is saying here in the verse 12 of 2 Peter 1, "I will not be negligent." He did not want to be negligent in his ministry. He wanted to be diligent as he exhorted God's people to be diligent in adding to their faith, to be diligent in making their calling and election sure. And as Peter wrote these words, Peter was conscious that his time upon earth would soon come to an end, that he would depart from this scene of time. In verse 14 of 2 Peter 1, he wrote, "Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me." So he's writing in the context of the fact that soon he will put off this tabernacle. Soon he will depart from this scene of time. And until that day, he wants to be diligent in his own ministry, in his own walk with God, and he wants to continue to exhort God's people to be diligent in their walk with God. He makes mention of the fact there that he would soon put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. And back in John's Gospel, in the chapter 21, in the verses 18 and 19, we read of that time when the Lord Jesus spoke to him concerning his coming death. And this is what the Lord Jesus said to Peter on that occasion in John 21, and the verse 18, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. And the next verse tells us, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Peter would glorify God in his death, but of course he desired to glorify God in his life also. Now in verse 13 of 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter expresses his desire in light of his coming death, that as long as he was in the tabernacle of his body, that he would continue to glorify God in his ministry, particularly here his ministry to the people of God. He writes here in verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavour that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. He wanted to be faithful to the Lord right until his death. And he wanted to be faithful in a manner that even when he passed from this scene of time, that what he ministered to God's people would be remembered. In a sense, he had the same spirit as the Apostle Paul, who in Acts 20 and 24 expressed his desire to finish his course with joy. And the ministry which he had received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And of course, that which Peter ministered to God's people in his day, even through this particular letter, has been preserved for us as part of the Word of God. That even today, you and I might profit spiritually from what the Lord moved Peter to write in this letter. And as I've already indicated, we want this morning to focus in upon the verses 12 to 15. And here we consider what Peter said concerning reminding God's people of the truths of his word. What Peter said concerning reminding God's people of the truths of his word. That's what I want us to consider this morning. And I want us first of all to consider how Peter reminded God's people of the truth of God's word. Look at the verse 12 of 2 Peter chapter 1, where Peter wrote, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Peter was reminding God's people of the truth of his word. He's pointing out that these believers to whom he wrote, they were established in the present truth. He's pointing out that those things that he would endeavour to remind them of, they already knew. Peter knew the tendency in all our hearts, even as believers, to forget or to become careless concerning the truth that we already are familiar with. Therefore, of course, Peter knew that it was his duty as a preacher, in preaching and in this case in writing this letter, to remind God's people of the truth contained in the Word of God. As we have read this opening chapter, Peter had written of what God had done for those believers to whom he wrote in salvation. He addressed them in the verse 1 as those that had obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Saviour Jesus Christ. The very faith that we have to believe in Christ for salvation is given to us as a gift from God. Peter is writing to these believers. He's writing to them, reminding them of what God has done for them in salvation. And if you're saved this morning, you ought to rejoice that you have this like precious faith that Peter had, that those believers to whom he wrote it first had. We have like precious faith in the Lord Jesus for salvation. Peter also in this opening chapter was exhorting God's people to grow in grace, to add to their faith. The words that he uses there in this chapter in the verse 5. He also, of course, reminded them of the exceeding great and precious promises that had been given to them. And with these things in mind, he wants to, as he puts it in verse 12, to put them always in remembrance of these things. These things that they already know about. These truths that they are familiar with. And he will go on in this letter, as you take the time to read the three chapters that make up this second letter, he will go on to warn God's people of false teachers. He will go on to remind them about the second coming of the Lord Jesus. And as it was Peter's duty, so it is my duty as a preacher, not only to remind myself of the great truths of God's Word, but to remind all to whom I preach of the great truths of the Word of God. To remind you, if you are not saved, if you are not a believer in Christ, to remind you that you are a sinner in need of salvation. To remind you that the Lord Jesus and his finished work is the only way of salvation. That unless you turn from your sin and receive Christ as Savior, you can never be right with God in life. And you can never be with him in the great eternity. It is also my duty as a preacher to remind you as a believer of the great truths that you're already familiar with. To, of course, remind you and encourage you to continue day by day to read the Word of God for yourself, to meditate upon it, to pray over it, that you might remind yourself of the great truths. And as you hear the Word of God preached, to remind yourself of the great truths of the Word of God, what God has done for you, what he continues to do for you, and yet what he will yet do for you. The Apostle Paul was also one who in his ministry and in his writing to the children of God and to the various congregations to whom he wrote letters that are part of the New Testament, to remind God's people of those truths they were already familiar with. For example, in Romans chapter 15 and the verses 14 and 15, Paul wrote this to God's people at Rome. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. And he says there that he's persuaded that God's people are filled with all knowledge, the knowledge of God's word. But in verse 15 he goes on, nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you, in some sort as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God. He's still putting them in mind, even though he is sure that they are filled with all knowledge. On another occasion, when Paul was writing to the church at Philippi, in Philippians chapter 3, and the verse 1, he wrote, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord, to write the same things to you. To me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. To write the same things unto you, the things that he had already written to them, the things they were already familiar with. We need to be continually reminded of the great truths of the Word of God. Paul, when he wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and 6, as he was giving exhortations to Timothy concerning his ministry, he wrote that if thou put the brethren, in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Putting the brethren in remembrance of these things. And of course, Peter, Paul, the other apostles, in putting God's people in mind of the truths they were already familiar with, were simply following the example of the Lord Jesus in his public ministry. Because as you read through the Gospels, you will discover the Lord Jesus reminding his disciples of the great truths that he had already taught to them. For example, in Matthew chapter 16 and the verse 5, we find the disciples were come to the other side and they had forgotten to take bread. And the Lord Jesus spoke to them and he said, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." And they began to reason among themselves, saying, "It is because we have taken no bread." And we're told in verse 8, "Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up?" And the Lord Jesus is reminding them, calling to their remembrance something that had happened in the past that should have affected how they considered their present situation. They had forgotten, as it were. We may also think of what the Lord Jesus said in John 15 and verse 20 when we're thinking of him and his ministry reminding his disciples of things that had happened, things that they had already been taught. John 15 and the verse 20, the Lord Jesus said, "Remember the word that I said unto you." Remember. Remember the word. And in the next chapter in John 16 verse 4, he said, "But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them." Oh, how prone we are to forget. How we need to be reminded of the great truths of the Word of God. As you even read through the Old Testament, you will find again and again the prophets were called to remind God's people of the great things that he had done for them, and the great truths that they had been familiar of. When we meet around the communion table and partake of the bread and of the wine, we are doing so in remembrance of the Lord Jesus and what he has done for us. Of course, if you're not saved, I've already said you need to be reminded of the truths of God's word. There was an occasion in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 32, where the Lord Jesus said, "Remember Lot's wife." And you can remember her privileges. And yet you can remember how she lost her soul, because her heart was really still in Sodom, where she had been delivered from. And so we're saying here in 2 Peter chapter 1 that Peter reminded God's people of the truths of God's word. And that leads us on to a second thought, because we note secondly that Peter was stirring up God's people as he reminded them of these truths. If you look at verse 13, if we read verses 12 and 13 again, Peter wrote, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." Peter was seeking to stir up the people of God, as he reminded them of the like precious faith that they had, as he reminded them of the exceeding great and precious promises that had been given to them, As he reminded them of the need to give all diligence in adding to their faith? As he reminded them of that need to give diligence and to make their calling and election sure? As he went on to remind them, for example, in chapter 2, verse 1, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you." In verse 3, as he would remind them even of the second coming of the Lord Jesus, which of course is yet to come, as he was reminding them of all these great truths, it was with the purpose of stirring them up to diligence in their walk with God, stirring them up to appreciation of what the Lord had done for them, stirring them up to be active in their walk with God and in their witness for the Lord. And does not this remind us that we too need to be stirred up? We need to be revived often in our souls as the people of God, in our walk with God, in our work for God, in our witness for God, as we consider Peter, as we think about Paul, as we think about the Lord Jesus himself, we can be stirred up in our walk with God and in our work for him. In chapter 3 of 2 Peter and the verse 1, Peter uses these words again, stir up. And he indeed points out that one of the purposes for this second letter was to stir up God's people. Chapter 3 and verse 1. "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." And then in verse 2, "that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." And he's particularly stirring up their pure minds here by way of remembrance, to remember that it had been pointed out that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, saying, "Where is the promise of his coming?" And so when we consider people questioning whether the Lord Jesus will ever come again or not, we're to be stirred up to remember what has been said concerning the fact that he will come again in that time that has been appointed. And as Peter sought to stir up God's people, it was that they might beware of false teachers and that they might continue to grow in grace. In fact, the very final two verses of this letter, verses 17 and 18 of chapter 3, Peter wrote, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before," the things that he'd been reminding them of, "beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." Peter, yes, was reminding God's people of the truth of God's word, and he was seeking to stir them up by reminding them of the truths of God's word. We need to be stirred up, reminded of what the Lord has done for us and what the Lord expects of us in our walk with him and our work for him. When Paul was writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6, he put him in remembrance to stir up the gift of God in him. And child of God, you and I need to be stirred up continually in our walk with God and in our work for him. Now, if you're not saved, you need to be stirred up to seek the Lord while he may be found, to call upon him while he is near. For as the Bible says, we know not what a day bringeth forth. We're not to boast ourselves of tomorrow. You need, if you're not saved, to be stirred up today to turn from your sin, to seek the Lord for salvation, lest you end up in that terrible place called hell. That brings us to a final thought this morning here in 2 Peter chapter 1. Yes, Peter was reminding God's people of the truths of God's Word. He was stirring up God's people by reminding them of these great truths. And then I want you to see in the final place that Peter desired God's people to remember these truths after his death. Verse 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Peter did not just want God's people to remember these things when he was still with them and ministering to them, but even after he would pass from this scene of time, he wanted the words, the Word of God, which he had taught them, to still have an effect upon their lives. I think of the words of Hebrews 11 and verse 4 concerning Abel. He, being dead, yet speaketh. And of course, the fact that Peter was moved by God to write the truths contained in this letter, which is preserved for us as part of the Word of God in the New Testament, does mean that today, long after Peter's departure from this world and death to be with the Lord, we can call to remembrance these truths, which are still as up to date and applicable as they were when Peter first wrote them. Again, when we consider the ministry of the Lord Jesus upon earth, some of the words which he spoke to the disciples were remembered by them in a particular way after his death and, of course, his resurrection. They were remembered in a way in which they understood them more and profited from them more than they had when the Lord Jesus had spoken them at first. If you turn to John's Gospel, chapter 2, you will find an example of this in John chapter 2. And the verse 22, we read, when, therefore, he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the Scripture and the word which Jesus had said. What was the particular matter that the Lord had spoken to them of? Well, in verse 18 of John 2, we read, then answered the Jews and said unto him, that is the Lord Jesus, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? Verse 21 tells us, but he spake of the temple of his body. And then we are told that when the Lord Jesus had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them. Maybe sometimes you've read something in the Word of God and you've pondered over it and you feel you haven't fully grasped its meaning. Or maybe it's something that's been said by a preacher, and yet there comes some point at a later time when it all seems to fit in place and you grasp the meaning of it. You see, it was Peter's desire that long after his death, God's people would remember the truths that he had brought to them. As we've said concerning the Lord Jesus, there were things he said to his disciples, and they didn't fully grasp the meaning until after his death and his resurrection again. In another place in John's Gospel, John 12 and the verse 16, we read concerning again the disciples, these things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. And it was particularly with reference to the Lord Jesus when he came into Jerusalem. The people took branches of palm trees. They went forth to meet him. They cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And the Lord Jesus, when he had found a young ass, he sat thereon, as it is written in fulfillment of this particular prophecy, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. And the disciples didn't understand those things at the time, until a later period when the Lord was glorified, after he had died and had arisen again. And of course, he ascended back into glory. You see, the Word of God has such power that in Peter's case, after the death of a preacher, such is the power of God's Word that the Word that Peter spoke, and even pen, can still be remembered and speak to our hearts today. No doubt the hearts of the people who did hear him and who read the letter at first, and to our hearts today. Let me encourage you then, as a child of God, to endeavour to commit the Word of God to memory. To meditate upon the Word of God you read each day. To meditate upon what you hear preached. To pray over it. To call it to remembrance. To pray that the Lord would help you to remember the great truths of His Word. And again, if you're not saved, that you would remember. Remember even today the great truths that maybe you've learned from your time in Sunday school and right through to this moment. And act upon those truths. And turn from your sin and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. I trust that the Lord will write His Word upon all our hearts today for His name's sake. I want to just bow in prayer as we bring our time around the Word of God to a close.